The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
So who we have here is Dr. Kirkgaard, Valerie Ann Kirkgaard. It happens that our little buddy, CW, is running around. And then we have Kelly, how would you describe yourself? Kelly Woodruff, would you call yourself a practitioner or?
Well, I'm a practitioner of reconnective healing, and I'm also an instructor of reconnective healing and the reconnection, which is quite an honor since Dr. Eric Pearl, who brought the work in, has only so far selected three of us.
I'm not getting into the interview at this moment, okay? This is the introductory one-liner that you get with our wonderful radio audience.
There you have it.
So
I teach reconnective healing also.
Listen, I got a powerhouse over here. We're calling in from all over the United States to cause this program, and here he is. He's just right next to me. So telephone call away. I'm in Los Angeles. He's right next to me in New York, and I can feel him like he's right sitting on the edge of the desk because he and I found out some things that everybody may not be aware of yet that are listening to this program, and you'll find out about them today. Also, I find today a most interesting day because I've been in a discussion with a group of people for the last two or three weeks. And these people insist that this country cannot have the Holy Bible in it because the Holy Bible is about Christ, not everybody in this country. I don't mean to give anybody's accent in particular. I'm just stirring them all up. But the deal is I'm reading the National Geographic, which is Sunday, December 11th. Oh, no, that's when it happens. It's a December issue of the National Geographic magazine. And what they're basically saying is that Christ is... The Christ story is one section of a book that actually started 500 years before his birth. So it's not just a Christian document. It's a crucible for the evolution of humanity and people really doing the best that they could at the time. And that what's really interesting about the King James Version of the Bible is that there were actually a couple of other really good Bibles around at the same time. I think one of them was the Geneva Bible. I was trying to remember. And that Bible was very anti-sovereign. So King James wanted to create a Bible where people weren't elevated or decreased. And it's really interesting because who we brought together was a group of like 40, 50, 60 scholars, and they came from different parts of the world. They weren't just the Christian world being represented. Those 50 or 60 or 40 or whatever it was, I don't remember, they actually, each one of them, translated the Bible, and then they all talked about it, and they picked what they felt best represented it. And that's the St. James Bible, and that's the one that Thomas Jefferson loves, too. So, you guys that you think that this is all about, if the Bible is what we're living with here in America or the rest of the world, that we're trying to force Christianity on somebody, not so. Like, really, really, really not so. What we're doing is we're evolving ourselves the best way we know, and we're holding a crucible of humanity's study and learning and intention. And I can't tell you how much I like this book. And I also like the Ten Commandments. I also like The Prophet a whole lot by Cahil Gibran. I think there's just a tremendous, Dr. Einstein's universe. These things are all significant forms for me. They all give me access to the world that I wouldn't have if I hadn't read them. Our language, the English language, is loaded with stuff from the King James Bible. This is a sweet Bible, folks. Everybody that has written in this National Geographic article likes the King James Version the best, and the story is well worth the read. It is the number one bestseller of all time. So don't make the Bible a Christian issue. Make it an issue and a possibility for humanity. And with my guest that's here with me today, honest to goodness, Ken Woodruff, what he's involved in, goodness, I meant Kelly, I'm so sorry. I keep, this Ken and Barbie thing, The people over at the Reconnection are so cute. They are adorable, okay? So what they have is they have a stack of guys over there that are just incredibly good-looking, and then they have a bunch of really attractive blonde women, and other people attractive, too, but they get referred to as Ken and Barbie, and I guess it slipped out. What can I say? His real name is Kelly Woodruff, and he's one of the practitioners, teachers. Kelly, you didn't use the word master when we were talking earlier, but you're a master, and you actually made the space for all of us to become masters, too.
Well, thank you, I suppose. You know, I've had an amazing arc with this work. Talk about evolution of thought and experience of the world. So it's one of the great powers of this work is not just allowing others to heal and even heal ourselves, but the way it helps us to evolve.
And what we're actually referring to is we're referring to the Reconnection, okay? Now, let's just, before we give credit for the Reconnection and all of that, when one thinks of reconnecting, one thinks of connecting to some kind of source, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Okay, and how you have been with Eric for a long time.
Almost 10 years now.
Almost 10 years. And how long has Eric actually been working on putting... Now, Eric's a chiropractor who has been on Waking Up in America, and he's also the originator of receiving the information for the Reconnection. And Kelly is part of... I'm actually experiencing a lot of emotion right now, Kelly. Kelly is part of a crew of human beings that have dedicated their lives to making your life easier and lighter. And it's just as simple as learning access to the things that the work he does have to offer. He's a master in yoga, and he also works with Dr. Eric Pearl. And they're just, it's an unbelievable gift. And so I toss the ball back to you. So what do you want to say in response to that?
Well, a couple of things. Dr. Pearl went through that change or made that shift. It began to access this work in 1993. He actually began to teach the work maybe about 1999 or so, wrote the book on the Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, came out in 2000, and we've been teaching seminars around the world ever since. We've taught over 70,000 people, 70,000 people around the world now to do this.
I think that was 5 months ago. I admit it's more.
Yeah.
No, really, that was your figure back in November or whatever, when
right,
we were at both levels.
Well, we, you know, our December and January are sort of our quiet planning time, so we haven't really started our seminar season quite yet. So it's probably hovering somewhere just around 70,000, a little bit more.
Okay.
In 165 countries.
Wow.
As you say, it's as easy as learning this work. And the remarkable thing about the work, one of the things that makes it so significant is that it is the simplicity with which you learn it, because we're not talking about learning in the way that we used to have to study and work so hard. Now we're talking about really entraining to something, to really actually literally changing our vibration when we come into contact with it, when we sit in the seminar, when we soak in it. So the work really has allowed us to shift our consciousness and our understanding of what it means to become a master healer, what it means to become a master. And I think that that's also significant for the times that we're going through right now on the planet.
Well, I think everybody has to really realize, because we tend to look up and say the word master like it's somebody, not us.
No, not at all.
I think what the possibility here is that everybody knows that they came with something to deliver, that there's some gift that they have to give, and that they're master of that. And as we go through this process, we just keep upgrading the quality of that response, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, so many people much more learned than I have said, this time that we're in now, every single person who is here on the planet now is a master and has come
exactly
with a gift to share, a lesson to teach. You know, and I think that one of the things that I've seen over and over and over again since I began teaching in seminars myself is the way that this work allows people to light up and not just step forward in their mastery of healing, but also it really seems to transform people's lives. I'm kind of the poster child for all that.
you are a poster child on so many levels. Don't make me laugh
too much. Yeah, I mean, the way that I've seen again and again, people report how their lives have changed, not just their level of health or even their, you know, their mental state, but really genuinely how they view the world, how their consciousness really exists within in this current time. So I think that it's significant for many reasons. I mean, you know, when Eric brought the work through, we always thought of it as healing work. That's what it was. That's what it is and what it remains. But I think on some level it's so much more, because I believe really the essence, the core of the work is about evolution.
Yeah, totally it is. You know, you're talking about it like a man who knows what he's talking about. And, you know, when we did, was it the Keys of Enoch or whatever it was? I honestly can't at this moment remember the title of that series of exercises. But inside of that series of exercises, I really felt that I was inside of a hologram or something.
Right.
You know? So it's like, how do we bring an experience to our listening audience? Is there a way we can do that? So they could be inside the hologram with us right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think it's important always, and I can give a really brief background or explanation of what we're really doing by saying that we all recognize, I think most people on the planet, anybody that's awake anyway, realizes that something is shifting. You know, the planet is going through a major series of shifts, both physically, you know, the changes of the weather, the changes of the Earth itself, you know, perhaps it's moving through the galaxy or it's moving through the universe into a new space, whatever, but also consciousness. Our consciousness is as a race has changed.
Oh, God.
So whatever it is, whatever it's the probably the combination of both, has allowed us to begin to access something new. Now, when I say something new, I don't mean as if new, it just turned on. I mean, it's been here.
Yeah, all the time. And
forever.
We see it now.
It's just what's new is our ability to access it.
Exactly.
And so what this thing does is that when we access it, it does allow us to connect or reconnect directly to, and I love that you said source a minute ago. That's a great word, one of my favorites. I like to say the universe, you know, God, people say God, the all, the field, you know.
The Om,
you know, Lynn McTaggart wrote the book, The Field. I think there's a lot in there, you know, all of those things. But whatever it is, when we make that reconnection, that connection back to that source, it allows us to come back into our space of being what we're intended to be again.
Let me just acknowledge that C.W. Wright, the co-host of the show who said he would be grabbed in and out of meetings, was obviously just grabbed again because I saw him on the board here for a whole minute. So let's hold the space here that we've invited Kelly into the radio station in C.W. and know that really important things for America are happening right now as we talk, Kelly. Honest to goodness, I don't know. Did you see the talk last night?
Absolutely.
I happen to know that some of those things that were said were not true. Okay? I know that. I know that, like I know that. And what I want to acknowledge Barack Obama for is being one of the most inspiring speakers I've ever heard in my life. And if I didn't know what I know, I would say, wow, and I would run out and vote for him again. So anyway, I don't know if you know this or not. I don't think I mentioned it to you. Dennis Weaver and I used to be pretty good friends before he left. Okay, do you know what his book was?
No, I don't know. I don't
All the World's a Stage.
Right.
So what he told me was, and you know you always get at least one thing from anybody you love, it's like, Val, just remember, we're all actors.
Mm.
Very helpful. Very, very, very helpful, because then I started to say, so do you think he's like really for the dark side? Or do you think he's like on the good side and he's part of the transition team? You know what I mean? So I'm grateful because the higher, I don't want to use the word higher because it sounds like better. But the more I let my consciousness expand, the more I'm able to entertain clever humor, good acting. Did you by any chance see Meryl Streep in
The Iron Lady?
Uh-huh.
No, I have not yet seen it. It's on my list, my deck to see.
She is a ball-diking bitch. Honestly, there's this one scene in the movie. I know why she's not prime minister anymore. I saw it in 32 seconds. It's like, whoa. And then I'm reading Ben Franklin's life. You know, we all just love Ben Franklin. I mean, the guy was amazing, right? But he's a nasty guy sometimes. You know how he got rid of his competitors?
Oh.
He declared them dead in Poor Richard's Almanac, and they had to deal with the fact that he published their funerals and all kinds of stuff. That's not cool, is it?
You know, everyone having their human experience, whatever that is.
Right, but it's certainly entertaining, and I have to tell you, and I love this book, Ben Franklin is probably one of the most amazing humans to ever walk the planet. No kidding.
Yeah,
no kidding. And you get that in even, like, the first couple of chapters, and it's like, how do some people get to have it all, Kelly? You know?
Well, My belief system says it's because they've probably been here multiple times and are getting closer and closer. But
okay, but interesting thing you just brought up, been here multiple times. I'm going to guess, because I actually have, what I don't know if you'd call this, concurrent memories. I have, my girlfriend Lita, she opened an art show at Bergamot Station Friday evening, okay, in Santa Monica. Well worth visiting, folks, okay? What she has in there, Kelly, is a cast of a woman that's an astronaut from the 25th century. She has golden spacesuits hanging there, and then she has different breasts that this woman operates from, and she comes down from the 25th century to join us here, because you know what makes everything work, really, is I would have to say the reconnection gives us a perspective that's much bigger than the perspective that we had before, both of our own abilities and what we're able to do for others, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so does art, and art is actually probably a complementary frequency for the reconnection, because art is one of the highest dimensions that I know of on this particular planet. So here's this woman coming in as a 25th century astronaut, declaring herself here for us, Galactic Federation, okay? And I've known this lady for years. We've talked about being Galactic Federation people. Then you got her art piece. Now, mind you, the last time she did this particular piece, Kelly, it was in front of the Washington, no, that's a different piece. It was in the Mojave Desert in 1980, okay? It's a very well-known piece. She does ephemeral art where she has stuff that just lasts the day, and she uses large numbers of people. And she's been to the North Pole and the South Pole and all this kind of stuff, and she takes her art with her. It's very good. I love this. I love this lady, Lita Albuquerque, okay? She's an absolute trip. So on Sunday, and she thinks this is an accident, by the way. This is what's so funny to me. On Sunday, she does this thing called Spine of the Earth, which is a replay of the 1980 Mojave, but brought up into 2012, January 21st, right? Or 2nd, I guess. So here's the deal. Her color that she picks is red. The flag that she picks is red. And it's a flag from Hong Kong. She thinks she has nothing to do with this. This is all accidental. Okay? Then she has 300 people, not 299 or 287, or 262. She has 300 people that show up to put on these orange painter's outfits and become orange pigment. She has a skydiver coming in from an airplane to start the spiral, and it goes down the Baldwin Hills over one of the most amazing pieces of scenery I've ever laid eyes on. And down this thing comes 300 of these people that are the spine of the earth, moving the energy up through the earth.
Wow.
OMG.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And that's, you know, I wouldn't have had time for that before. I would have been too busy trying to live or something, you know? But as we let ourselves keep expanding, those things become attractive and available. And I got her on the show for Saturday, too. We have Our American Cafe Wednesdays. Saturdays, rather, at 6 a.m. Pacific and 7 from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And her name is Lita Albuquerque. Can you stand
it? Nice.
So what would you like me to make up for you, honey?
I don't know. Let's see. Where are we going? How about
yoga? Do you want to talk about your yoga?
Sure. Let's talk about it.
Inside of that?
Absolutely, because I think, you know, that's something a lot of people can get a hold of, too. You know, there's a huge yoga movement in this country. It has been alive for quite some time. We were sitting around with some other reconnective healing practitioners and myself after a seminar one evening and talking about the fact that we were all doing yoga, and I had been drawn back to my yoga practice after leaving it years and years ago, but after I became a reconnective healing practitioner, for some reason I decided I needed to go back, so I did. And we noticed something really interesting. We said, hey, have you ever noticed that these frequencies tend to switch on by themselves?
You know what?
What?
You are getting so much energy. You are going so fast.
I'm excited.
Blow it. I know you are, but you're making my heart
I'll
race.
Pull it
you're
back.
Making my heart race too fast.
So anyway, we said, have you noticed that the frequencies tend to turn on during a yoga practice? And somebody else said, yeah, I noticed that too. Isn't that weird? Yeah. So we started talking about what would happen if we consciously introduce the frequencies into a yoga practice.
And how do you do that?
Well, there's different ways. I mean, we now have, actually, we just certified somebody else today. As a matter of fact, we now have 10 certified reconnective yoga teachers who we have developed ways to integrate the frequencies into practice.
Wow.
It's just about being conscious, working with the frequencies in the same ways that we do when we do sessions and do self-healing. But it's the same thing. but in yoga, and the results are remarkable. We've taught now classes all over the world, and pretty much everybody who takes a reconnective yoga class says the same thing. Basically, wow, I never could, you know, hold that posture that long, or I've never been that flexible, or I've never had such a deep meditation. Or,
and how long did it take him to get there?
Just one class. That's
really
remarkable. Well, yeah, because the frequencies, that's the thing about these frequencies. They're instantly accessible. You don't have to do a lot of, you know, dipping and weaving and, you know, starving yourself and wandering the desert to get to them. They're here. They're available for us all the time.
Trying to be a ballet dancer, you know.
Well, you know, whatever takes. But in this case, it doesn't. It's just a matter of being present with them, understanding what they are.
Well, and Kelly, where are the classes?
You know,
are they... Or how does that work? Do they show up to seminars and then they...
We teach reconnective yoga classes now as part of almost every seminar that we teach, which is something add-on we've added this past year, which has been a great thing. And then the independent reconnective yoga instructors teach in their various cities, and we are all over the world. We have two in L.A. There's one in Sedona. There's one in New York. There's one in Southern New Jersey. We have one in Amsterdam. We have one in Australia, in Melbourne.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
When you said Amsterdam, that was the one that gets me. I love Amsterdam.
Me too.
It's so much fun. I think it's that. If I were to pick any city in the world that I thought was happy, it'd be Amsterdam.
Funny.
What about you?
I love Amsterdam, and that was actually where we was the site of one of the reconnective yoga instructor classes we did. We actually taught in Amsterdam. We've taught the seminar there quite a bit. Have had huge, huge groups.
Oh, they're terrific.
Oh, it's amazing. We had largest seminar that I'd ever taught at. We had almost 1,000 people.
Well, do you know the people in Amsterdam? I don't know if they still do it or not, but I've been over there a couple of times. They would have their bicycles, okay, but they weren't owned by any people.
Right.
It's like they'd ride their bicycle. That would be their bicycle as long as they were riding, then they'd put it down and the next person would pick it up. I thought that was just amazing.
Absolutely. You know, that's the consciousness there is what has always been one of sharing and communal living, sort of, and
uh-huh.
It's quite interesting. It's a great culture. We've really had a lot of success and a lot of fun in Amsterdam. It's just
have you been to the museum?
Of course.
Well,
we've been there a lot.
Amazing?
We've been there a lot, so, you know.
No, I was just thinking of, I remember being inside the Van Gogh Museum and watching the images being projected up on the walls, and I thought, this is a really clever bunch of people. They're very creative.
Excellent.
And then I was driven around town by a wonderful little guy in a rickshaw who turned out that he had come from some other part of the world, and he was just there studying for 6 months, and then he was going to go back to his country. I just had the best time of my life.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
You know?
It's again one of the joys of teaching this work is being able to travel all over the world with Eric and now by myself teaching.
So I want to interject a question here. I want to throw you off a little bit.
Sure.
If you were looking at the world from your travels with Eric, I'm sure based on what we just said, you'd put Amsterdam on the list. But what would be your top three cities in the world that are actually appear to be the most open to transformation?
Sydney.
Okay.
Oslo.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
How do you attribute that?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting. So Oslo, Norway is the most reconnected country per capita on the planet.
Norway is?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that? Now, here's something for you. I think they're the ones that started the cell phones, too, aren't they?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
You know, there's something going on in addition to Santa Claus.
Could be.
Okay, that's very interesting. So what would you see next on the list? Do you see anything in the U.S. or Asia? Or?
You know, it's an interesting thing. I actually will tell you that the U.S., we have certainly had a group of people who are, you know, who are always interested and open and moving ahead, and yet there's a big resistance here. You know, I'm just going to reference your opening little act there about the Bible, people talking about the Bible. You know, there's a segment of the U.S. society that's very, very closed. So we're sort of, you know, kind of on two ends of the opposite poles, you know.
Yeah.
Very much, you know, a huge group of people that are open and moving ahead, and then a huge group of people who are pretty stuck and dug in. But
kind of why we've been doing Waking Up in America, actually, since 1987.
Right.
So it's been a privilege, actually, to ride this wave. And when I actually invented a breath-clearing process called directed breath back in 1984, and when I did it, people were, like, so skeptical, and now they say, oh, well, everybody knows that. So we do get to see things change. I was in the women's movement. You know, I was assistant coordinator with Gloria Allred. I did not want her position any way, shape, or form. Being second back and watching has paid off very well for me as a strategy. So I've had the ability to walk into many different worlds and appreciate, you know, what those worlds wanted and what they got and how the world responded to them and how the evolution occurred and things of that nature. And I'm very pleased to have done that. Also, the breath process that I created, Kelly, people revealed a lot of they gave me possibilities that I never would have thought of if I hadn't met them. So as they went through their issues and they shared some of their solutions and their results with me, I just got like more and more possible all the time. I just turned, and then I remember how I got attached to Eric, but I did. And once I got attached to Eric, it added more to it. And then somebody else comes into the picture, and the man that's been trying to get back on the show and may not make it because he's been in meetings, C.W. Wright, he's like that. He's like a force in my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can never not have Eric Pearl's wisdom that he received in my life. It's there. I mean, it's a permanent fixture now.
Right. Of course, you can't forget what you know.
Yeah, my point. You said that well.
And so, I mean, when you're talking about truth, and we are talking about universal truth here, you know, there's no, you might want, people try to pretend, I think, upon occasion, you know, that they don't, oh, no, I never heard that.
Right.
You know.
No, they'd have to give up one of their stories, okay?
Right, exactly.
And their stories, see, there's nothing wrong with your story, okay? The problem is that some of the stories are charged, and you actually think they're true.
Right. Exactly.
And that charge, and that thinking that those stories are all true, causing you grief. I'll tell you, I made a really big error this morning. I mean, big, on a scale of 1 to 10, a 2,000, right? And I was facing it, Kelly, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, great, an opportunity to own it. So I had a list of 25 people, right? And I got up, and I called them, and I owned it. And I apologized, and I asked them if I needed to do anything for them, and all kinds of stuff. And you know what? I am like 1,000 points higher in the world because I owned my hideous mistake. It was not good, okay? It was totally not good. The reward I got 24 people telling me that it was really okay and that they really appreciated the work that I had done and they knew it must have been a mistake, stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know? But we don't know that. Kellyanne, until we lift ourselves and get ourselves out of the dark, dank stories, we talk about the dark side. Hey, it's right here. It's whatever we suffer with is our dark side. And this work lifts that light. Do you know I'm really smart? Do you know that I've never turned down a request for an interview?
Wow, brilliant.
With anybody from the Reconnection? You know why? Because I'm kind of lazy. Okay.
Well, we've got a lot to say.
Not only do you have a lot to say, but the deal is, it's like I've got so many things going on that when I put somebody on the radio show, I like am there more than I am at other times because I'm being drawn by so many different things. You know?
Got it.
So here we are, and it's like once again, I feel the reconnection right now.
Sure, absolutely.
And I feel it. You know, the wind is blowing here really hard, and it's a really clear, beautiful day. What's happening in New York?
We've had a beautiful day today, actually. It's cold, of course, and it is winter, but, I mean, the sun was out all day, and, you know, I'm trotting around my apartment, which is 95 degrees. It gets in the winter, you know, and, no, it's beautiful.
No, and it just gets easier, too, doesn't it? Doesn't life, I don't care what happens. I had the IRS call me up this week to tell me they were going to levy my account. You know what? I called him back and I said, go for it. You can have my whole $10, but the truth is, I want to pay you this money. You have no idea of how much I want to pay you this money, right? And I do, because I don't like giving my word about stuff and not keeping it. I said, but right now I'm working on keeping the lights on. And you know what he did?
He said, we won't levy you.
He took the whole thing away.
There you go.
Like it never happened.
Wow.
How about that?
No, there you go. That's the universe at work.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Now, if I told you for only $29.95, no, I'm joking, you too could get into this universe. I think it would be worth it to let them know where you and the guys and gals of the Cannon Barbie crew are showing up to train more people.
I'd be glad to. Well, our first event of the year, actually, or rather our first full seminar of the year, I'm teaching at Kripalu, which is a fantastic institute for yoga and health in Western Mass.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What's in the Berkshires.
Do you know what that name means?
What does Kripalu mean?
Yeah.
No, I actually don't know what that means.
That'd be worth finding out.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah.
Kripalu has been around for a long time. I actually had a great opportunity to teach there. I was the first teacher besides Eric that they ever actually let in, and which was nice. And we also did reconnective yoga last year. We're going to repeat that this year, too.
Yeah.
But we are teaching our level 1 and 2 seminar starting on March 1st at Kripalu. And then Dr. Pearl is teaching his first seminar of the year in Phoenix, Arizona at the end of March.
Oh, wow. I want to be there.
Yeah.
Is that a level 3?
Level 1, 2, and level 3. All three are being taught.
OMG.
Yeah, you have to get there.
My radio shows, that's where I started out, was in Phoenix.
Ah, cool.
And I particularly like Phoenix symbolically, Kelly, because it's the rise of the, you know, from the ashes.
Absolutely.
So I think that's just like an incredible place. And I'd like to just make sure that our listeners know. I'll have something put up on the website about that. Maybe Jackie can forward me some info.
Absolutely. We will make sure that you have that info.
Because I think I've got the Reconnection Insight on there. Maybe already. I'll check. But
well, if your listeners are interested, they can always go to the website, which is our website, which is thereconnection.com. And just like it sounds. And right there, all the information on all of our seminars and events can always be found, as well as, you know, further information about the work itself and the history and some frequently asked questions people always ask, you know, how to get here, what is it, what's different, you know.
What kind of clothes do I wear? I remember Eric being saying practically anything but a bathing suit. He probably wouldn't have disagreed with that even.
Right, exactly, yeah, no. When I went to my first seminar, you know, in the cab on the way down to the first night, and I kind of thought to myself, oh my God, what am I supposed to, what am I wearing? I don't even think what I had on regular, you know, jeans and whatever, and I thought, oh my God, people are going to be wearing purple robes and, you know, sandals and
it's true.
Belts, but you know what?
Listen, bear that in mind, okay? Purple sandals and
purple
all that
robes,
kind of
family.
Stuff, because we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to, I'm on the air here with Kelly Woodruff. We're talking about the Reconnection, and here we are. I want to give the people that make Waking Up in America and our American Cafe on Saturday, I want you to enjoy what they do, because if you've noticed, we just only have the best here. So we want to thank our sponsors, Emergency Management Solutions, also known as EMS Global One. Now, that's our co-host, and that's part of what's probably going on right now. What he does is Emergency Management Solutions actually send aid to different parts of the world in which people are struggling with some kind of natural disaster or some human disaster or whatever that is. EMSCO and CW are on the spot really stepping in there and making those things happen. So I just want to let you know that he's one of the sponsors of the program, and he also, you can always write him at cw@emsgo.org. Here's the deal. He has a really good health kit for your car. I actually picked up the one for 4 people. I have this little Jeep, and I have this fantasy that from time to time during my life, I've actually helped people in need at the side of the road. It just seems to be one of the genetic cells in our family. We're all like that. So an EMSCO kit is perfect for you if you've got that need to be right there and in things, and that's kind of what that personality is, and I appreciate the vitality in life that I get from hanging out with CW because I'm engaged with what's happening here. We also have another company, which is Sir Jason Winterteen. We'll actually be interviewing him, Sir Jason Winter's son, sometime next month. I think it's the 15th, and what's really cool about these guys is that his father, Sir Jason Jr., I don't know how they do that, Sir Jason's father actually developed Sir Jason Winterteen simply because he was suffering from things that we're not supposed to be able to say. You can't say cancer or anything like that on the air. You can't imply anything like that. So, of course, I wouldn't. But different people with really serious things found out as they balanced their bodies in a particular way that a lot of those things disappeared. This is not about Sir Jason Winterteen, so I'm stepping aside for a moment. If you have an alkalinity of 7.5 in your body or more, my understanding is you can't have any kind of cancer. So I'm measuring mine, and you can get litmus paper and know where your pH balance is. And I'm just going to take responsibility and change myself to 7.5 and stop complaining about life. Okay? So anyway, back to Sir Jason Winterteen. This guy has a bunch of teas, and they're fabulous. And you don't feel like you're like fixing yourself. You're just having a nice cup of tea. So for those of you who like tea, I love Sir Jason Winter. Also, co-sponsors with them is LA Lifestyle, and they're a very interesting group of human beings that create, they have all kinds of vitamin formulas. They've got ways from doctors that can answer your questions for you. They give discounts to seniors. They give vitamins to the troops. I mean, they're just a great group of people. So you want to check out LALifestyle.com. Also, we have, for those of you who want to know more about what it is to be a sovereign, because sovereign has been given a bad name, and it's actually a very good one. It's what kings call themselves, actually. So you want to check out Tad Patterson and go to our website, which is wakingupinamerica.com. And on that website, you will see Tim Turner Seminars. Send an email to me at val@mailhouse.com. And, boy, can you get an education and learn about stuff you don't know about. And you can stop being cattle that's being herded around and actually claim the rules and laws that are existing there for you already, and you just don't happen to know about them yet. When you find out about them, you're going to have a major good time, and Tad makes all of that available. So always you can check out our website at wakingupinamerica.com. And last but not least, Protandim, Protandim, it's right over there on the right-hand side of the website at wakingupinamerica.com. That Protandim takes your blood back to the age of 20, and that's a very, 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 very good thing. And since I did that, started taking it about 3 months ago, all of my alligator skin is gone, and I'm playing racquetball, and I'm 72, and I'm dangerous, okay? So I just want you to remember that. And I had kind of thought I was too old for that. So I give Protandim direct compliments for that particular little experience. And I wish CW was here today, because I know he'd be going just nuts with possibility listening to you, Kelly. So, you know, what are some of the things that people who have done the reconnection? I was trying to think. I did something really remarkable afterwards. Oh, I know. You're going to like this. I don't think I ever told you. You know, when you had the Eric had the introduction over at University City.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what you don't know is that I had just gotten a short-haired border collie, a little baby.
Oh.
And this little baby border collie was like a flying bullet, okay? And this dog would, like, knock me over and all kinds of stuff. And my balance still isn't what it could be. That's the one place I have more of that I need to pay attention to. Anyway, I've got this little dog, right, who eats woodwork and does all kinds of absolutely terrific stuff and shook all the time. And when my son walked by, would actually defecate and urinate out of fear. So we found out that the dog had been horribly abused, and it was unfortunate that we just kind of, my son happened to remind him of the dog of who had abused her. Okay, not a pretty picture here.
Mm.
Plus, we're eating the woodwork and all of this other stuff. And I am about at wit's ends, and I've gotten this dog, like, on Wednesday, and I'm over at the hotel in Universal City, and you guys are all doing your thing, right?
Mm.
The next morning, I go in, and I let the little dog out of the flying bullet out of the cage, and my hands immediately go into positions, and the dog stops shivering. Now, mind you, I've only been to the introduction. I hadn't had a class yet. Come to find out, when I took the class a couple of days later, that those moves that I was doing actually were some of the moves that I was taught. How does that work?
Well, you start entraining to the frequencies when you come in contact with it. So
contact rather than learning in some
Absolutely.
Way.
You know, I always joke with my attendees and say, you know, we're going to pretty much spend the next 2 days helping you unlearn a lot of things that you thought that you knew. You know, so that you can really be open to the possibility. But it's really about entraining to this new vibration. And people who sit in the seminar, they walk in not able to, you know, access this, and they walk out able to. You know, we've done a ton of research, and the scientists are telling us the same thing. There's something physical that happens. We have a physical shift that happens when we come in contact and begin to soak in these frequencies, what we say, that really changes us for our lives.
It's almost like materializing inside the frequency.
Ah.
That's what I'm seeing. When I'm thinking about...
Great way to say it.
when you're the old Star Trek, I love those old movies. I just love them. And I saw recently the one from 1984 when they were saving the whales. I love William Shatner. He's
right.
So full of it. But when they would materialize and dematerialize, that's what it feels like to me. The difference is they knew how to go from frequency to frequency because they owned it. They knew that they could do X, Y, and Z and go to that frequency. Kelly knows the same thing. You and I kind of know it. Not like he knows it, but I kind of know it. And you may not know it at all. It's kind of like, what you don't know, Kelly, is I'm also a peace ambassador for the Republic of the United States of America, and when I'm coming out today, I am the extraterrestrial ambassador as well for the Republic of California.
Right.
To my knowledge, I never formally met, not formally, anybody from I don't know what dimension that would be, the 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th or wherever it is up there, you know? Whatever those dimensions are.
Right.
But more and more, when I talk like this, guess what? People show up all over the place.
Sure, of course. Well, as I say, things
yeah,
are changing.
If somebody mentioned it in a seminar, I'd be real interested to see how many Galactic Federation people show up at one of these seminars because they appreciate simplicity and effectiveness.
Right.
Okay? Part of what happens when we live in our stories, and by the way, the stories are major fun. They've made lots of, you know, adventures and great-selling books and all kinds of stuff. And the stories aren't maximally effective as far as giving us a quality life.
Right.
The energies that Kelly's talking about being able to access, and you can do that, as I said, I was already accessing it prior to even taking the course. Also, Kelly, I was a firewalker, too. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think fire burns. So it's like what you said. It's like you have to get people to let go of the things they think they know, i.e. fire burns or blah, blah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's the most dramatic thing you've ever seen happen?
Wow. As far as the healing or something, I mean, I have seen some very interesting things within the sessions themselves that really, why I always laugh and say I'm the poster child for transformation.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I walked in the door 10 years ago, I was a complete and total skeptic.
Yeah.
Even after I learned the work, for the first year that I was doing it, people started just showing up. Speaking of showing up, people just started showing up to have sessions. I mean, literally, call me out of nowhere. I heard you do this work. Can you give me a session? I'd be like, yeah, I guess so. And for the whole first year, every time somebody would leave, I would literally, like, look at the doorknob after they closed the door and think, that is ridiculous. That's crazy. How is that happening?
Did you charge him?
Of course.
And yeah. That didn't even slow him down? You know, actually,
no.
Money does slow people down.
No, absolutely not. People understand the value of this work, and a part of that, you know, part of accepting the gift of the work is the exchange.
Can I tell you something? I have to tell you something. I spent, in 1982, I was licensed as a marriage, family, child counselor. A very interesting world, let me tell you.
Mm.
You know, you meet people that have been horribly abused. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, 5,000.
Right.
I mean, oh, God, geez. I don't want to even go into it on the radio, but it makes... what's his name, the horror nightmare on Elm Street guy,
that
makes it look pale.
Right.
Some of the stuff that people actually have survived and will sit there and tell you with a smile on their face that they come to so they can do a good thing, you know, after a background and past like that. But if you get that that's energy that they're clearing or completing, and they're open to hearing the possibility that there's ways of reducing the stress that still stays there from that energy because it hasn't been completed yet, reconnective energy brings up your frequency in your field to the point where that stuff just starts to burn off like ash.
Absolutely. That's
absolutely. No kidding.
No, 100%. And that's why soaking in it as a practitioner seems to improve our lives, even though we're not consciously doing sessions on ourselves.
Now, remind me who tells the story about getting their cartilage replaced.
Oh, I don't know who did that.
That's that guy, the other Ken.
Maybe Doug.
Yes.
Actually, Doug Spine Regenerator.
Yes, Doug Spine
He also grew, I always tease him about it, he grew an extra inch, you know, somewhere around age 38 or 39, he suddenly grew an inch when all his spine started.
Yeah, his spine refused.
Yeah.
People with backaches, are we listening?
Yes, truly.
You know what I'm saying? So as you do stuff with the energy, or some people say, you know, they do it all the time, I help them let go of garbage or something, they go, well, nothing happened. Okay, why don't you just breathe and go out and see what the world looks like today? I don't have to save everybody, you know. But at the same time, when people know they can save themselves by elevating themselves, the biggest thing I see, Kelly, is they're really concerned. There's a part of them that seems to want to have that life did it to them.
Oh, sure. Well,
and
I mean, you know,
we have to
speaking
get
the of stories.
Yeah, but if we're actors, life didn't do anything.
Right, exactly.
We picked roles and we played them the best we could. That's the one I like best, actually.
Well, you know, again, my belief system says we're here to learn our lessons so we can go and evolve to the next space. And I have always said to all of my clients that reconnective healing is the thing that allows you to transcend this lesson of this challenge that you're going through. It will. If that's what's appropriate, is directed by and guided by you with your deal to, with the universe, it will happen 100%.
Well, let me tell you about the rest of good. What's good about what Kelly is saying. Hey, I'm on a project right now that I'm working outside of the Republic, and that particular project didn't happen on the time schedule that everybody expected to happen on, and we had kind of bet on it. And we got ourselves in an awkward situation, which is being remedied right now as we speak. It looked like we made a mistake, and what we had done is we'd just been very successful at being unhappy with what had happened and uniting with each other at the same time.
Mm.
And that is a profound experience, because a lot of times when something goes wrong, people won't talk to each other. So if Kelly, I'm going to include you in this, Kelly, and if you want to change it or enhance it in any way, I know that part of communicating with each other through our hearts and just being responsible for whatever it is that we see we've done makes a perfect entrance into a conversation that could actually create evolvement.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. You know, becoming the space, going into the space of observation,
becoming
the observer and the observed,
yes,
you know, allows us to transform. That's one of the basis, that's the philosophy of reconnective healing. You know, I love to say all the time, you know, we are not called human doings. We are called human beings. And as much as we are able to be and be present and be with ourselves and be in our observation and be connected to the fullness of what we're supposed to be connected to, allows us to transcend the challenges that we've so far selected to impose upon ourselves.
So, gosh, what are they going to do with you when everybody's transformed?
Well, you know, then I'll
we'll
go off
to
retire somewhere.
Pose.
Exactly, go do yoga and, you know, be happy and watch people and help them move to the next space. That's the other cool thing about the reconnection, too, that I love is that, you know, we have people come through who are at all different stages of their, you know, life, their development, you know, where they are on their life path. And no matter where they are, this work seems to pick them up and move them along. So we're not talking about, well, it won't work for you because, you know, you haven't gotten to this point yet. No. Or conversely, oh, well, it won't work for you because you've already transcended that. You know, no.
Right.
It doesn't. It's not that.
No, I did almost 2 years at Second City. And what that, and this, by the way, is a continuation of what I learned at Second City. I'd been doing this before, but it's actually about creating dialogue. It's different. We don't get on here and lecture on you. We create dialogue, and Kelly and I say things we may never have said before. And we say them because somehow we each give each other space to be more than we are individually in a room all by ourselves or something. And what's really key right now is I'm taking a course with the Shift Foundation, and these guys are off the scale terrific. It's a 16-week Peace Ambassadors course, and it's actually, I'm really excited, it's going to be on today on Wednesday at 5 for me, and we hear somebody in the area of peace actually teach us the technology, Kelly. It's astoundingly good. And on that call, there are people from over 200 countries in different parts of the world, and what's happening is we're actually creating something called the Summer of Peace, and that's going to be happening this summer, and there'll be events all over the place. Berkeley will be one of them. It's really interesting, and people are generating them now, and each of us was asked what we could do to put it out into the world. And I said, well, I'll certainly talk about it on the radio and let me get some other things so I can hook in and put up the exact dates or send you to the exact place. And we can do that because what this particular course has now reached is that we need to create peace in our communities. So you don't have to run out there and fix everything in your community. I just ask you to simply look into your community and see an area that you might be able to contribute something to make it more beautiful or more functional or more peaceful. Peace is a launching ground for creativity. When you stand in peace, you are actually free to choose. Okay, and you get to choose to be extraordinary. And why the heck not be extraordinary if you have a choice about it that you actually know about? We, the people of the Republic of the United States of America, we got together November 14th of 2010, and we signed something called the Declaration of Intention. You can read into that, Declaration of Independence. And what we did is we re-inhabited the United States. We called in and that's United States with a lowercase u, and we re-inhabited the Bill of Rights and Constitution, and I don't have enough time in the remaining minutes here to tell you what that's all about. But what I will tell you is you can call in on, let's see, is it a Sunday? I think it is. Let's see, open, yeah. You can call in Sunday, the new constitutional study with C.W. Wright, and the time is 6 o'clock. Now, that's Pacific. The conference line is 424-203-8000, and it's open to Republican and non-Republican members, and just find out what's going on. First of all, Margaret Thatcher was not nice all the time, but she was really a powerful leader. And you can, when you see the movie, they say Meryl Streep nailed it. I saw the movie, and I was dumbfounded. I think she was extremely lucky to find the man she found and marry him, because nobody else would have let her live. She was just really intense. I mean, she knew how to chop and package and send them home. And she did. She did. There's a scene in the movie where she does this guy, and then she dismisses the entire cabinet. It's like, whoa. And then, to her great surprise, she's being removed from the premiership of England, you know? So we have choices here all the time, and great people have issues. And personally, Ellie, this is, if I could change a line or create, I know this would be a fun stage to create. We could send Margaret Thatcher to Reconnection like 10 years ago and see what the difference would have been. You know, we could make up a story about that. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be excellent.
You know what I'm saying? Because that is what changes. Now, Terry Cole Whitaker, have you ever heard of her?
Oh, my gosh. She's been one of our speakers at our Mastery Conference for the last 3 or 4 years, and I've been actually blessed to be her escort around the conference. What a wonderful, she's one of my favorite people.
She's she's got a rank in my top 10 favorite humans on planet Earth, okay?
There is no one that can hold a room like Terry does.
Well, not only that, have you ever experienced white light?
Yes.
Me too, and guess who I experienced it with at first? Miss Terry Cole Whitaker,
right.
About 15, 20 years ago, something like that, probably at this point. She had a huge following, okay? The possibilities here are endless, because Terry Cole Whitaker gave me an entry into a dimension that I had heard the Beatles talk about and stuff like that, you know? But I honestly didn't know. Hey, my gosh, we're almost out of time here. There's our music. We've got to say, there's our, oh, gosh. I think we got all the vital stuff in, right?
I think we did. Seminar's coming up at the end of, 1st of March and the end of March in Propalo and Phoenix, and our website, www.thereconnection.com. Yes, three W's. And, a way to transform and connect and
really. Cool. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, Dr. Valerie Kirkgaard.com, no, just drvalerie.com, and doctor is all spelled out. We thank our producer and sponsor, C.W. Wright of EmergencyManagementSolutions.org, Sir Jason Winter T, L.A. Lifestyle, Protandon, and, Tad Patterson, you have the right. Check them out on the website, guys. A big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Spinar, Nathan Jett, Brad Comer, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale and Ron Simon. Thank you, Ron Hayes, for being a great research assistant week after week. Merci beaucoup to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen and write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com. And remember, Sidious Altius Fortius, and that is, hey, guys, do a mitzvah today. That's French for give somebody a boost. And thanks for listening.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is...